Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. I want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our Wednesday night service tonight as we continue our study on exiting Egypt. And it's a great book by Julie West. You could go back and listen a couple of months ago to when we had her on the radio program here for two different days. But if you want to be challenged, this is not fluffing stuff that you would read in a short period of time. There's a lot of things that she brings out in there that will really cause us to go to the Lord in prayer and self-reflection. And so if you'd like to come and join us tonight at 7, we've got a class for kids, we've got a class for adults, we've got a class for young adults, and we'd love to have you come and join us. You can buy that book digitally. I think it's on Amazon. I think the place I bought it was a place called bookshop.com. And you can also buy a regular paper copy if you'd like. Great book. And we've got a lot of people who are really, really getting a lot out of that Bible study that we're doing. Hopefully you can come and join us tonight at 7. Tonight, by the way, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We're two blocks north of 520. We're right across from Ola's Cuban Kitchen. And it's a pretty busy restaurant there. And so if you're wondering where we're at, that's the neighborhood that we minister in. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse number 36 today, and then we will read on down to verse number 50, which is the end of the chapter. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." Jesus said, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he, Jesus, said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So I want to remind you, we're studying right now on a lifestyle of love. And love, the motivation for love, is a central focus of this particular passage of Scripture. Jesus was invited to dinner by a Pharisee named Simon, and the dinner was at Simon's house. And I can't honestly tell you how this is possible, but a dinner in Simon's house became a place where a woman from the city who had a known reputation for her sinful condition makes her way into this other person's house. That's, you know, if some stranger came in to a dinner at my house, that would get my attention very quickly. Anyway, she was very well known for her sinful condition. What may not have been known to everybody who knew about her reputation was that she had a possession that was extremely valuable. It was an alabaster flask or an alabaster jar, and it was filled with a valuable fragrant oil. It was very, very costly. So let me just say this. Being a person with very little financial means does not mean that you are righteous. It also doesn't mean that you're a sinner. You can be a poor sinner. You can be a rich sinner. You can be everything in between. You can be a super rich sinner. There's plenty of those around. Many people think that because you have a sinful condition, you might not have any financial means at all. But this woman had something that was a treasured commodity. It was very, very valuable. And when she heard that Jesus had come in to the city, she made her way into Simon's house. Now, their tables are not like our tables and chairs. But instead, there was a table that was off of the ground a little bit. And they would recline at the table. Their face would be towards the table. They would generally be leaning on an elbow. And their feet would be not close to the table, but towards the outer part, extremities of the room. I want to remind you, they didn't have cars. They had animals. And so as you're walking down the road, you're not only dealing with dirt, you're dealing with other things. When you came into a room, it was customary to wash your feet because you didn't want to bring the stuff from the road into the house. And so they're reclining at this table. This woman comes in and she stands behind Jesus, and she begins to weep. I don't believe she was having a nervous breakdown. I believe that she was having a spiritual breakthrough. Jesus never did anything accidentally. He always did things on purpose. And so when Simon invites him to his house, Jesus already knows the intent. God, the word says that God knows our actions. He knows our thoughts. He knows what our intentions are. And so he already knows what Simon thinks about him, but he also knows that there's a woman in that city that desperately needs a spiritual transformation. And the Bible says that God gives to every person the measure of faith. So there is no person that is beyond the reach of God. He can reach them. I want to build your faith today. No matter how broken, no matter how bad their reputation, no matter how chronologically long they have been dealing with, God can change a person's heart. This passage is testimony to that fact. So she stands at behind him weeping, and there's this stark contrast between Jesus in perfect holiness, and as she's standing there, this woman becomes extremely self-aware of her complete sinfulness. Can I just encourage you? Don't wait and postpone and procrastinate and prolong your life in sin. It's not worth it. The price tag is too high. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. There is no guarantee of a second chance. Today is the day of salvation. And so this woman did not try to justify herself. She just stood there and she wept. And I wasn't there, so I can't tell you for sure. This is just the way that I imagine that. I would imagine that as she stood there and she was weeping at this flawless, loving God who was going to go to the cross for her, that as she was overcome with tears, that some of her tears rolled down her face, dripped off of her cheek, and landed on Jesus' feet. And all of a sudden, she moves from a position of standing above him and crying to bending down, and with her hair, she began to wipe away the tears. And these were the feet that were getting ready to be pierced with Roman nails as he was going to be crucified. And I don't know if she had a moment of insight or just realized that the Old Testament had said, beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. But all of a sudden, she finds herself not only wiping her tears off of his feet with her hair, but she begins to kiss his feet. And then she takes that very costly possession, that alabaster flask that's filled with a very valuable, fragrant oil, and she breaks that jar. And the aroma fills the room. Can I tell you, it was Simon's house and Jesus was there, but this woman changed the atmosphere, and none of it went unnoticed by Jesus. And whatever you offer to him will not be unnoticed by him either. Um, There are certain stores that I can't go into. There are some stores I don't go into by choice, and then there are others that physically I cannot go into them. And the, you know, perfume shops where there's like 100 different fragrances and all of them have been squirted and filled the room, and you can have this aroma that is flooding out the doorways as you're walking. That my nose is way too sensitive for that type of overpowering. And all of a sudden, a room that could have been filled with the fragrance of food, it could have been filled with the aroma from the outside, could have been a place where, you know, water is not something that, you know, everybody availed themselves of for baths every day. Could have been some very unpleasant smells in the room, but all of a sudden, there was an aroma that had come from this woman's sacrificial love of Jesus. And I use that word intentionally because Jesus did. And all of a sudden, that fragrant, expensive oil is now poured out upon his feet. And I can just imagine how it flooded that room. No, we're not talking about large homes. And one woman's act changed the environment. Can I ask you today, when you go to work, how will you change the aroma? Will you change the aroma of the room with complaining? Or will you change the aroma of the room because you brought Jesus with you? And your lifestyle is a lifestyle of worship, and you brought your love for people. Simon had set an atmosphere. I'm sure the food was delicious as it could be. He wouldn't have staked his reputation otherwise. But he also brought an atmosphere of judgment, of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is as filthy rags. That's not an environment you're looking for. This woman that Simon looked down on had come and elevated the atmosphere in the room to where now it was going to be an atmosphere of worship, and it is something that we are still talking about thousands of years later. So as all of this is taking place, Simon the Pharisee looks over at Jesus, and Jesus is permitting the woman to do these things, and he thought that permissiveness indicated that Jesus was not a prophet. In other words, while this woman was worshiping Jesus, the Pharisee thought that this act of worship was an indictment on Jesus because he thought that Jesus was unaware of the sinful reality of the woman. Jesus is getting ready to reveal that he was fully aware of everybody's spiritual condition in the room. Simon the Pharisee was assuming that he wasn't a sinner. Now, there are so many people in society that they have believed this lie that I'm a good person, and you may be a good person compared to me. You may be a good person compared to many other people. You may be a good person compared to more than half of the world's population. But being a good person does not mean that you're right with God. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Simon thought he was okay. He didn't think of himself as a sinner. I want to let you know that if you have been trapped in a life of sin, So have I. So is every other person at Merit Assembly of God. You will find no perfect people at Merit Assembly of God. None. What you will find are saints who were once sinners, who got changed by the blood of Jesus and are still in the refining process. Okay? But here's what I'll tell you. You've got to start sometime to allow Jesus to change you. Too many people believe that they don't need Jesus, and I will tell you that that belief system does not line up with the Word of God. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Simon didn't think that he needed Jesus, and he set himself up in a position of judging Jesus. How many people have you heard that do that? Well, a good God would not send people to hell. Well, first of all, you need to realize hell was not created for humanity. It was created for the devil and his angels. It is a place of torment. It is a place of misery. It is a place where everything that is God, that God is not present there. That's, you know, people get hung up on the flames and all of that. The thing that makes hell such a miserable place and the lake of fire such a miserable place is the absence of God's presence there. And knowing that the opportunity was there and it was rejected, that's what makes hell miserable. So many people think that, you know, they're more righteous than God. They've got better standards than God. How many people think that they're smarter than God? I tell people, look, you know, if God, if Jesus said it is expedient for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, then the Holy Spirit will not come. God, the Holy Spirit is not an option. He's essential. The Word of God is essential. The church is God's gift to us. The Word of God is essential. And, you know, there may be some great storytellers out there, but make sure that the church that you're going to is preaching the Word of God that you can verify by the Word of God. Okay? So, Simon the Pharisee positions himself in judgment on Jesus, and that is never a winning strategy. I was asked one time to make a judgment on someone, and I said, look, I am not the judge in this situation. I'm not called to be your judge. So I will not. I will continue to do what I am called to do, but I will not sit in judgment on people that I am not called to judge. So, Jesus transitions, and I'm, you know, got just a few minutes, and he begins to talk with Simon about two debtors. Not one, but two. He's not addressing the woman, he's addressing Simon the Pharisee, the one who was trying to set himself up to look good. You know, they were always doing the externals so that they would look good in the eyes of men. The two debtors both owed a debt, but the amount of the debt was not equal. But they both owed financial obligations to this one creditor, and both of them had inadequate means to resolve the debt. And I can tell you that all of us are in similar positions. We've all sinned. Our sin is an offense against God and His nature. It breaches our relationship with Him. And none of us can pay that debt. You'll never be good enough, never be smart enough, never be wise enough, never be famous enough to resolve the debt offense against God. The only way to resolve that debt is the blood of Jesus and asking Him to be the Lord of our life. Maybe you've never done that. I want to encourage you, if you haven't, maybe you have and you walked away and you turned your back on your relationship with God, you can begin again. You can begin again today. Just ask Jesus to forgive you. And you know what He does? He cancels the debt in its entirety. One year at Merit Assembly of God, I preached on canceling the debts against others that we were holding on to. And I said, look, I can't cancel your mortgage. I can't cancel your car payment. I can't cancel mine. But what we can do is we can cancel what other people have wronged us for. We can lay that at the altar and we can walk away from that. And that was really what the goal of my message was. And so we prayed a prayer and we cleaned the slate. And you know what happened? At that point in time, we owed roughly about $10,000 as a church. And 3 or 4 weeks later, after I preached that message, I received a letter, and it said this: Merit Assembly of God, you have been more faithful to pay on your debt than any other church that we have helped out. This letter will eliminate the remaining balance that you owe. You are hereby released from your debt. And I can tell you, I was rejoicing. I was undignified. I was celebrating the cancellation of debt. And if you just prayed that prayer, if you just asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, I want you to know your debt, your spiritual debt, just got paid. You are hereby released and forgiven. God bless you, and we'll talk about more tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."